Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be going through Caitlin Clark. She's played two games already, one on the way. So I will talk about all the critique, the criticism from the fans from a myriad of places. I'll give my analysis of what's going on with her and might squeeze in another few news items. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. I was going to hold off until the conference semifinals were finished, but you know, with all the WNBA talk now, all the things circulating as far as Caitlin Clark goes, I said, you know what? Let me do an episode and kind of get some things off my chest in that regard. So here it is, guys. So Caitlin Clark, she has played two games already. One game on the road, her opener, which she started in Connecticut, playing the Connecticut Sun. And then a couple of nights later, she comes to Brooklyn. No, I'm sorry. She goes and has a home game against the New York Liberty. So I will talk about that and then all the criticism and everything else. So her first game out. Of course, she had the jitters and she even expressed so. And mind you, Connecticut Sun, one of the top teams in the East. Remember, guys, she is actually in the Eastern Conference in the WNBA. So you have teams like Connecticut Sun, the New York Liberty, two of the top teams in the East. You also have there the Atlanta Dream. Also, the Chicago Sky is there. And then the Washington Mystics. So that's your teams in that conference. So, of course, she's going to start out with teams within a conference. And it just happens, so happens to be, she faced the two top teams. And then remember, guys, this schedule was put out well in advance, right around, I want to say, around, it was just before or a little after the free agency period, which starts like in February. So around January, February, around that time. So the schedule is already laid out, and that's what it was. And this is before we even knew where she was going in terms of teams and all that. So once you set the schedule, that's it. That's what it is. Unless, of course, there's occasion, of course, where you have the Indiana Pacers in the playoffs doing well. So things will get shifted around a little bit. But that's probably the only caveat in terms of moving the schedule and so forth. So I wanted to bring that up because, I'll talk about that later. But nonetheless, so those were her first two games. Against the Connecticut Sun, here's her numbers. 20 points she did score. A lot of it kind of in garbage time, but her first basket was probably the easiest basket she'll get in the WNBA because you have to remember, Connecticut Sun is one of the top defenses in the league, and they have a number of players who has pretty good defensively, and she faced, for the most part, Dejanay Carrington. Dejanay Carrington was a player from last year who was a runner-up in the sixth person of the year coming off the bench. But now she's been installed as a starter now. Now that you had players being traded and you had another one retire as well. So she moves up the depth chart and now she's a starter, which means she's being called upon to do a little bit more, according to Coach Stephanie White, who I listened to her press conference where she was talking about Carrington, where she has demanded of her to play a little more defense and be able to guard your man. So DeJounay in her first game, her first assignment, Caitlin Clark, and she does it well. She covers her pretty well. She got a couple of steals off her, so on and so forth. So she played her very, very tough. And it was mostly one-on-one. You know, they would switch off if she was to drive to the lane. You know, the help would come to kind of help out as far as Caitlin drives to the lane. Of course, the first basket that she scored, it was kind of an ole to the lane. But nonetheless, she was guarded tough in that game. That's what I'm trying to say. So she has the 20 points, 3 assists. She has 2 steals. She had 10 turnovers, guys, which tells me she was really forcing the action, so to speak. So and the 10 turnovers for a rookie is actually a record. A record one would like to have, but it's a record nonetheless. She did shoot it 5 of 15 from the field, 4 of 11 from 3. So she did drop 4 threes in her first outing, which is good. Perfect from the line, 6 for 6. So all in all, it was a solid outing. If you take away the 10 turnovers, which is kind of hard to do, but it's a solid outing, and you would like to see that. So we'll move on. And before I go on, that game was watched by 2.3 million. And this is the largest debut in terms of those numbers since 23 years ago. So you're talking about some historic numbers here for Caitlin, her first time out. Then game 2, she does it. She has it at home, playing against the runner-up from last year, the New York Liberty. New York Liberty on their team, they have a few pretty good defenders there. I wouldn't say the backcourt is the greatest defensive backcourt, but Sandy Brondello, the coach over there, said, you know what, let's take our best perimeter defender and put her on Caitlin, which they did in Banaji Laney Hamilton, who last year, I thought she got robbed from being on the all defensive team, either first or second. I think she got robbed. She's a very good defender, guys. And actually, she got some votes for defensive player of the year. That's how good she is. So she was given the assignment of covering Caitlin, which she did very well also. So much so, Caitlin in the game, just 9 points, so 11 points less than her first outing. She did have 6 assists. The turnovers she cut down greatly, only 3 turnovers, and then 7 rebounds. So, and oh, by the way, in the first game, she had no rebounds. So at least in this one, she was able to get in there and get some rebounds. Again, she didn't see too much of a double team. Every now and again, you'll see a player slide over. Somebody like a Kayla Thornton would slide over and guard her. And then after a while, when they saw they pretty much frustrated her, they ended up putting Courtney Vandersloot on her, which, you know, she was able to get off some threes against her, drive on her. And of course, Vandersloot, she's kind of long in the tooth in terms. In WNBA terms, she's in her 30s. So, yeah, and she's been around the league a while. So Caitlin was able to get a little bit off on her, but not so much. Again, only the 9 points. She was 2 of 8 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. So she only made 1 3 in that game, and perfect from the line, 4 for 4 from the line. So all in all, if we look at her numbers, only shooting 30% from the field, not great from three-point range, 5 of 18, that's not good. That puts you in the 30-ish range. She is perfect from the free throw line, so she's at least knocking down her free throws, so that's the good news there. So with that said, those two games there, of course, the analysis is kind of all over the place. Few people I listen to and I respect, Tarika Foster Brasby, she covers the Connecticut Sun, and she's on a few podcasts. Her handle is She Knows Sports, and she covers, other than women's basketball, she covers baseball and other things. And she put it plainly. She was on the Brother from Another podcast, and she said, listen, we tried to tell you folks, she was going to struggle. And all in all, she has. Why? Because this is a league where, you know, you have women there, grown women playing, that are not going to let some rookie come in and show them up. So you have that. And also, remember too, guys, I think this gets lost in the whole umbrella of analysis. She's just less than 2 months away from competing in the NCAAs, guys. She was over there competing there where you didn't have all these games so close together. Right now, she's scheduled to play Saturday in Barclay, playing the Liberty. Then 2 days from then, they'll go back to Indiana, host the Connecticut Sun. 2 days after that, she goes on kind of a road trip, a three-game road trip, where she goes to Seattle, 24th, the Los Angeles Sparks, and then she has a back-to-back where she gets the Sparks. The next day, she gets the defending champ, the Las Vegas Aces. So she's getting thrown right into the fire right off the start, guys. And then from the Vegas game, they get a little reprieve, and then about 3 days later, they face the Los Angeles Sparks in their arena, and then they end the month playing the Seattle Storm. So I would say if I had to look at the schedule and kind of take a guess or two, maybe she gets a win perhaps against the Los Angeles Sparks. I think that's her most likely chance of getting a win. I don't see her beating Seattle. Well, of course, the defending champ, I definitely don't see that. I don't see them getting the game against the Liberty or the Connecticut Sun. So she probably will finish this month with a win and I would say 8 losses. Yeah. And then, of course, everybody is crying for her coach to be fired, Christy Sides, which I think is a bit unfair. I do think, though, Christy Sides, I think it's incumbent upon her. I understand she wanted to start Erica Wheeler next to her because Erica kind of taken Caitlin under her wing. But I think you're at a point now where, and I was just listening to actually Diana Taurasi, who, oh, by the way, seemed like she was right all along, guys. It was going to be not so easy coming into the league. She was right. But the problem with people, they didn't like how Diana says it. But that's Diana's personality. She comes off that way. And all the vets can tell you about their welcome to the NBA moment that Diana Taurasi has given them. So that's just the nature of Taurasi. So I say that to say, in the long run, that, first of all, Diana Taurasi's been in the league. This is her 21st year in the WNBA. So don't you think she's seen players come and go and she knows the good ones, and she actually said it there. She says she admires how she's taken tough challenges Caitlin has and rised above it. So I said from the outset that all this talk about her being a hater and all this was just plain ridiculous. And actually, in my 200th episode, when I was on the panel with my guys there, I mentioned that, what is the difference between critique and haterism? And now that bears fruit today. I mean, it was a honest critique. And like I said, someone I follow, Tarika Foster Brasby, she said the same thing. She said the very same thing. We told you folks, the people who are the, I'm on social media, so I call them the ultra-sensitive Caitlin Clark sycophants, because there's no talking logic to these people. They think she's going to come into the W, drop 30 with 7 threes per every outing. That's not going to happen, guys. It's just not. Will it happen like in the long run? Probably. She's a student of the game. She's going to figure these things out. And you just got to give her a chance. And I blame media, too, for putting this kind of weight on this young lady's shoulders. She's a 22-year-old trying to figure out her way in a new league. Give her some time. Give her some grace. And I say that not just for Caitlin, for all these rookies here. Give them some grace, guys. We know this is going to be a fantastic rookie class. We know this. We just got to give it time. They haven't even gone around once in the WNBA. Give them a chance. That's all we're saying here. I've heard Monica McNutt, the voice of the New York Knicks on the radio, who, oh, by the way, she covers the WNBA as well. And she mentioned the same thing. Caitlin's going to be fine. She's going to figure it out. She's smart. She studies. She knows what she needs to improve on and so forth. She'll figure these things out, guys. Let's be honest about it. And I just listened to Sue Bird. She was on Rich Eisen's show. And she said the same thing about the huge pressure that is put on Caitlin Clark by the media, by her fans, that her delusional fans. I'm not even saying the whole fan base. It's the ones that think that what happened there will immediately happen in the W. And that's just not reality, guys. And just think about it like this. You have a hotshot associate coming into a law firm. They're not going to get the huge cases there. Those are going to go to the partners. They have to work their way in. They have to earn their stripes, so to speak, to get the big cases. And they'll probably work under a partner there, but they're not going to get the big cases where they're the head of that. That's not going to happen. So just take it in any line of work, that where you got a hotshot kid coming in, you're not going to throw them in the fire right away. They're going to have to be seasoned. They're going to have to learn their way around. Even in department stores, you don't know where the lingerie is from the men's belts. You have to figure all that out. So I'm just saying that to say there's a learning curve that must occur, that must happen. That's all that's being said here. So with that said, and then also too, the perfect model to, well, early model at least, is Sabrina Ionescu of the New York Liberty, who came into the league. She was drafted in 2020. Her first three games looked like she was figuring it out. And then boom, ankle sprain, a 3-grade ankle sprain that knocked her out for what was thought to be a month, ended up being the whole season. So then she comes back her following season and she has a rough go of it, because, you know, she's trying to acclimate herself back into playing. And she had a rough go her second year. And then the third year, that's where you saw everything come together. Am I saying it's going to take Caitlin Clark that long? I doubt it. I don't think it's going to take her that long. But I'm just saying that to say that when adversity comes, it takes you a while to kind of get your sea legs, so to speak. So I think all in all, Caitlin is going to be fine. She's going to figure this thing out. And I actually too think that the coach, Christy Size, I think she should probably take her off the ball for the moment until she kind of get her feet wet. Maybe start her with a Grace Berger, who was a rookie last year, and it seems like as the season progressed, she kind of found her way. So I think maybe taking Caitlin off the ball will alleviate some of the pressure off of her in the game. So I think that's another option too. And Grace Berger is somebody who can knock down the three as well. You need somebody in there who's kind of a threat as well. I think putting Caitlin in with a Grace Berger can kind of alleviate things and even help the ladies inside, like Aaliyah Boston, who's had an uneven start so far. And also Melissa Smith, who's also in the interior. So I think those are fixes that can help Caitlin at this moment, but I'd say take it easy, guys. And then one more thing before I go. This is going to be a quick one, but yeah. But Colin Cowherd, I heard him talk about this, and I said, this is a guy who's been on TV, who's kind of knows the ropes. He went and said that the league should have made the schedule easier for Caitlin Clark. I'm like, where they do that at? The schedule is already set. I talked about that earlier. The schedule is set. Everything's put in place. How in the world are you going to fix the schedule to help out a rookie? That's unheard of. And for you to even mention that, would you say that about the kid Caleb coming into the NFL? Would you say that about him? Would you say that about Victor Wembanyama, that they should ease up the schedule for him to make things easy for him? No, you wouldn't say that. It's a ridiculous take. It's a garbage take for somebody of Colin Cowherd's caliber. It's ridiculous. And I can't believe it came out of his mouth. But all I'm saying is, let's give Caitlin some time, guys. She's going to figure it out. She's going to be fine. And it'll be beneficial for the league. So that's all I'm going to say to that. All right. So that was it. I had some more things to say, but I'm just going to leave it at this. I thank you for listening, as always, guys. It's always appreciated. Did this quick. Wanted to do this quickly because there's a lot of talk out there, and I just want to dispel kind of the notions that's out there. So with that said, All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. You can go there. You can also support me on the website. I got a few support buttons there that you can use. Also, too, Cash App, GD That Sports Dude, $ GD That Sports Dude. That's the Cash App. I'm on YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. I'm there. Also, guys, I'm on all the podcast platforms, so you can watch and follow me there. And also on socials, I'm there, whether it be TikTok, IG, Facebook, and Twitter, I guess, if you want to go there. All right, guys, so with that said, I thank you for listening as always. Always appreciate your listenership. It means so much to me, and we'll talk soon. Take care.